We know that there are many famous artists who had problems with their vision, and you only have to mention, say, Monet or Degas, whose later work was very much influenced by their vision or lack of it. What happens if you are a very successful artist and you find out that you're starting to lose your sight? Do you keep it a secret from everybody? Or do you put on an exhibition and release a film to tell everybody that you're coming out as a visually impaired artist? Here on R&IB Connect Radio, we heard of one such person, Angela Childs, who has just done so with her Arts Council-funded exhibition, What Are You Looking At?, and accompanying film. Angela now joins me from her home in Somerset to tell me more about the exhibition and film. Hello, Angela, and welcome to R&IB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby. Nice to be here.
Angela, you've been a very successful artist since you graduated from Goldsmiths in 1989. Would you be able to tell me a bit about your background as an artist, your sort of very successful career so far, and how you felt when you were starting to lose your sight?
Well, I always wanted to be an artist. For some reason, no one in my family was, but I'd grown up just loving art, loving painting, drawing, and I just wanted to do art forever. At school, I wasn't particularly encouraged to do it, but I did it anyway. And I left school sort of wanting to go to art college, and I went straight to art college. Didn't stay on for A-levels or anything. I was only interested in art. So I went straight to art college, which was just like a dream, because you were just being creative all day long and with like-minded people. So I started off and spent 6 years at art college, ended up at Goldsmiths, where I did fine art textiles for 3 years. And it was the time of the YBA, so it was a very exciting time to be in London and at Goldsmiths in particular. And when I left, I think it's quite hard when you leave university and not thinking, can I make a career for myself as an artist? So I sort of always combined it. I worked in galleries as well, but then I started painting more and more and becoming more successful with my work. So commercially successful. So selling in St. Ives and London, showing in Milan, which was great because I'd sort of painted for myself, and it's always better when people then buy them. It's not just so much about selling the work, just knowing that people really appreciate them. So I went off on this career, and so my life was all about the visual arts. So it came as quite a shock to me when I realised I was losing my sight, which was probably about 10, 11 years ago now, when I first found out. And I was very, very naive and just imagined I'd get a pair of glasses and I'd be fine. But no, it wasn't to be. And so my eyesight has deteriorated quite a lot since then. And I'm now registered blind, although I still have some vision, some very useful vision, which helps. But I've had to really adapt within my work. I use a lot of technology. And Daniel, the voice on my iPhone, is my best friend. He would tell me the colours of my paint tubes. He would tell me all sorts of things to help me with my work. With the aid of that, I've been able to continue. I did go through a brief phase where I thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to paint? But I think I've been painting for so long now that I could actually do it without seeing. My work's very much about feelings and memories anyway. So that hasn't changed. But what I have to do now is rely on technology to know about the paint tubes and the paint colour. But mixing the colours, I still remember. So I know what two colours, three colours will make if they're mixed together. As long as I know what's in the tubes, I'm fine. But the subtle lines that I once used aren't there. It's a lot bigger and bolder, bigger brush strokes. And having the Arts Council funding, which has allowed me to produce a film and an exhibition of my work, has really sort of liberated me in a way, because I was perhaps in denial and very reluctant to tell people about my eyesight failing, because it's quite a hard thing to tell people. It is anyway, but when you're a visual artist, you don't want them to view your work differently. And so I was keeping it quiet, even hiding my guide dog when I delivered work. My husband would take the paintings in and I would just stand in the corner, propping myself up on a plinth, hoping I wouldn't knock anything over. So, yeah, and then you sort of do this and you get to a point where you think, I've got to tell them at some point. So I got this grant and this is my way of coming out and telling everyone about my sight and the changes in me. But it has been very liberating.
Would you say that your work has changed quite a lot since losing your sight? The work that you may have done beforehand and the work that you do now, do you think your work is perhaps a little bit freer, a little bit bolder, a little bit more confident than it was before?
Definitely, definitely. I think before I was quite tight in the way I worked, although in a way I was quite loose, but I would use pencil marks and I'd use a dentist tool to scratch away. But those subtle marks have sort of been left by the wayside and I've sort of, yeah, like you say, I found this new freedom of not worrying about the strokes and the drips. And not worrying about how it looks, just actually going for it. So, yeah, I really enjoyed a new way of working. And in a way, I really needed to kick up the backside. I really needed, I'd sort of not been producing the same work, but I hadn't had any challenges that had forced me into working in a different way. And I think it's actually been really good for me to do that. I've also done some collaborative work in the exhibition. So things that I once would be able to see, to be able to draw, I've worked with other artists. So we've done collaborative pieces together and that's been really fun. And it's something I would never have done before.
You're obviously making a big splash and statement with the exhibition and film. Do you see the future of your work now that you are coming out as a visually impaired artist? You know, what do you see as the future of your work? And are you happy with that label, you know, of being a visually impaired artist?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I really see that it being a really good start to a new, well, it's already, I've created a new body of work, but it's really going in a really different direction, which I'm really enjoying. So, yeah, I think more collaborative pieces of work I would really enjoy doing and working with different artists using different mediums as well, because I've been working with screen printing, which I haven't done since I was at Goldsmiths. So that's been really, really exciting to get back into. But the term visually impaired artist, it's a hard one. It's a hard one because at the end of the day, I'm an artist. And usually I would say I wouldn't call myself a visually impaired artist. I would just say I was an artist because an artist, and I think it was Picasso said that painting was a blind man's profession because you just have to feel what you're doing. And I do agree with that. And I just sort of think, does it matter about my sight? But obviously for this exhibition, my loss of sight is the main reason for it. But I think after this, maybe I go back to, not that I wouldn't tell anyone, but I wouldn't perhaps label myself a visually impaired artist. I'm not sure. I'll see when I come out of this.
There may be listeners who might be thinking, because I can't see that well, that I can't get involved in the arts. What advice or words of encouragement would you give them to get involved in the arts at whatever level?
Yeah, well, even enjoying the arts, I think it is really restricted and can be really inaccessible. So with this exhibition, for example, we've got Braille labels, we've got audio descriptions on the paintings, and we've got very large print labels as well. But the audio descriptions bring so much more to the work, and we've got just normal people, friends, people who read for the newsline, the talking newspaper, they're doing some of the audio descriptions. So they're describing my work. And it's really fascinating because they talk about it in a way that I never would. And we've got some children doing it as well. So it's really interesting to see what they're saying. So it means that it is accessible to everyone on very different levels. Yeah, so I think galleries could really do with upping their game, because I still go and visit a lot of galleries, and I'm astounded how little there is for visually impaired people. There's the odd QR code on the random piece of artwork, but not on everyone in every exhibition. So I'd like to see that become the norm, where you can have audio for it for each of the works. And also, light levels in galleries are always so low, which is a real bugbear of mine. So I may be able to pick out a few bits in a piece of work if they turn their light levels up. So I encourage people to go to galleries and actually tell people that they need change, they need things to work for them. But also, working within the visual arts, I would suggest anyone would do it. If you want to paint, whatever you want to do, whether you want to do craft, painting, silkscreen printing, like I say, there's always people out there that will help you to join clubs, join societies, where you can learn more, but you can do it at home. I just paint in the studio in my house and quite merrily paint away with the radio on or music on while I paint as well. And I find it really therapeutic in a way. I just really enjoy it. There's something in me that I have to paint all the time. I don't think I could not paint.
Angela, you have the launch of the film and the press view of your exhibition, What Are You Looking At?, on Thursday, the 14th of October, which is World Sight Day. Where can people go to find out more about the exhibition and your work too?
They can either go to osrprojects.co.uk. OSR Projects is the gallery that I'm showing at. Or they can look at my work or read about my work on Instagram, and it's Angela_Charles_paints, or my website, angelacharles.com.
Well, Angela, I wish you all the best with your exhibition and film, and thank you very much indeed for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.